contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Ted Tripp, in his book on parenting, states today that by ages 10 to 12, scores of children have already left the home. Not in the sense of walking out the door, but in the sense of leaving mom and dad as an authority figure in their lives. He says today's parents are part of the 60s generation whose protest movement has challenged the way we think about authority and the rights of the individual. As a result, children no longer sit in neat rows in school. They no longer ask for permission to speak. They no longer fear the consequences of talking back to their parents. They do not accept a submissive role in life. We're going to look at the implications today on Abounding Grace Radio of the fifth commandment, and this commandment dealing with authority structures in our lives and how the disregard of the fifth commandment, we've seen the breakdown all the way across the board in society, in the way we speak of our bosses, president, parents. And today we're going to go to God's word and look carefully at what the design of the fifth commandment is so that we might bring glory to him in these authority structures that he has put place over us in our lives for our good. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org, call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805, and find us on Facebook. So thankfully you take time out of your day to tune in to Abounding Grace Radio. Well, Mike Brown's with us today from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And Mike, we've been working through the Heidelberg Catechism, the gratitude section now, guilt, grace, gratitude. We've looked at sin. We've looked at gospel, grace. And now we're looking at how we should live in response to all that the Lord has done for us in saving us from our sins. And today we come to an important commandment, don't we? They're all important, but this one is really foundational for understanding authority structure that God has put in place in our lives. This is the fifth commandment. So Mike, what is the fifth commandment?
Well, the fifth commandment from Exodus chapter 20 is that you are to honor your father and your mother. And then it also adds that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Speaking of Canaan, because remember, the Ten Commandments were given to the nation of Israel while they were in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. But the principle there is respect for authority, and it's in particular to the parent. It's interesting that, when we think of the Ten Commandments, remember, our Lord summarized that, the Ten Commandments, saying that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. So it's to love God, and that is primarily given, you see, in Commandments 1 through 4. And then we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, you're still loving God when you love neighbor, but these other commandments, Commandments 5 all the way through 10, have to do more with loving neighbor directly. Again, you're still honoring and loving the Lord by keeping them. But the fifth commandment is the first of what we call that second table, that section given to our neighbor. So this is very important. The Lord puts high priority on us respecting authority structures that he has put into place. It's broader than just children obeying their parents. It's us honoring our parents because God has put the parent into the world in order to raise children up so that they would fear the Lord, know the Lord, so that there will be a structure that enriches society. I mean, if there are no parents in the world, imagine what the world would be like. We are born into a family with a father and a mother. It takes a father and a mother for you to come into the world, and then we need a father and a mother in order to be raised in this world. And this is, of course, where we see, you know, such tragedy in our culture with the breakup of the home and the divorce rate so high and all of that kind of thing. We need to have this structure, and part of that structure, what's integral to that structure, is the obedience to the authority figure. And so that's what the Lord is really getting at here, because in honoring our father and our mother, we are honoring him. And in honoring and obeying those in authority over us, and at least in things that do not cause us to sin, we are honoring the Lord.
You know, that's exactly what's emphasized here in the Heidelberg Catechism. This is Lord's Day 39, question 104. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? You'll see how all-encompassing this is. That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. That's a really important emphasis at the end there. God has put authority structures in our lives for our benefit, and that ultimately God himself chooses to rule us through them, so that when we reject authority structures, we're rejecting him. That's a really important thing to emphasize. So Mike started correctly here with the Heidelberg, as the Heidelberg does, that we should honor, love, and be loyal to our father and our mother. Mike, you mentioned something a minute ago. We've seen the breakdown of this, and I mean, it really is an interesting day where Paul even would describe that one of the marks of the end times would be that children are disobedient to their parents.
Right, right.
And we've seen sort of the wholesale abandonment of authority structures where parents now really aren't even parenting. They become friends to their children. Children no longer respect their parents. You even see things like now they can separate or divorce from their parents. All this disrespect for authority has thrown things into chaos. It really has. You mentioned the home. You mentioned the family being the basic building block of society as God put it into place for benefit to society. Society won't function well without this commandment operating well. And this is what we've seen happen, is a real assault on all authority structures, beginning with the home, right?
That's right. And we don't want to say that this is only a problem today. This, of course, has been a problem since the dawn of time, since the fall. And as you pointed out, Paul says in 2 Timothy about this is going to be one of the things that's indicative of the last days. But he also points out in Romans 1 that it's one of the things that's indicative of the fall, that they are disobedient to parents. And so we have to keep in mind what this means. You know, of course, parents are supposed to be loving, patient. They're supposed to care for their children, provide for their children. But they are first and foremost parents, and not friends. And in this day and age in which we live, you pointed out earlier about the 60s from that quote from Paul Tripp, and we do live in a time, especially in America, where the baby boomer generation has raised kids. That would be our generation, Chris, what's called Generation Me or the Generation X. And we've been raised with a certain kind of a sense of entitlement, a real sense of narcissism.
Right.
And this is a problem that the church alone doesn't identify. Even the world is beginning to identify this as a problem. Here in San Diego, there's an excellent professor by the name of Jean Twenge, who's written a couple of excellent books based on some of her studies about the narcissism epidemic in America. And we live in this time where, right, it's almost parents are submitting to their children, asking their opinion on things, wanting to get their approval of things, wanting to make sure that they're okay, rather than kids submitting to their parents. We have it completely reversed. We see parents and teachers and communities orbiting around the kid, trying to please them and give them everything that they wish or desire, rather than teaching them in love and in patience and obedience to the Lord a gentle authority structure. So discipline is important. Submission is important. Telling your kids no when it has to be no is important. And then spanking them when they need it is necessary. These are things that seem to be taboo today in our culture, and yet it is part of the creation order that God designed.
Right. And this just goes along with the whole what we call cult of the child today. That's exactly what's happened. The worship of our children, instead of leading them and training them as God designed and wanted us to do from the beginning. You mentioned discipline. It's so interesting. The Proverbs speak so strongly about spare the rod, you hate your son. This is why we have an undisciplined situation in light of children today. But in the positive way, I think it's something we should focus on here since the Heidelberg does. What then are we supposed to do? What should that look like in the home? Well, notice here that in this authority structure that I should honor, love, and be loyal to my father and my mother.
That's right.
I should speak well of them. I should love them. I should cherish that they've provided a home for me. They care for me. They're set apart by God to train me and instruct me. Think of how wonderful society would function if parents were doing their job as God called them to do, to lead them. And I emphasize that, lead their children, train their children in righteousness. And children responded with the kind of respect that God loves, to love, honor. I mean, I remember every time I was disciplined, Mike, as a child, my mom would sit down and I would always hear it. I mean, this thing still rings out in my ear, you know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I got that after every discipline. My mom would sit down and read those things and those verses in Ephesians. And this is the kind of relationship that the Lord wants in place for the benefit of society, but most of all, to glorify Him.
Right. It's what He's ordered. It's what is right. And of course, when you're receiving it as a kid, you almost never agree that it is right. You know, you're not going to get what you want. And that's important for us to remember, even as adults. Oftentimes we're upset and we have to ask, why am I upset about a situation? It's because I'm not getting what I want. And that's something that we have to go back to and remember is, for the parent, I have a responsibility to guide, to train, to teach my sons and my daughters to be men and women in this world who will love their neighbor, who will honor the Lord. And I have to. It's a difficult job, and I don't always get it right. And that's why I love how the Heidelberg points out that children are to understand, as they honor their parents and obey their parents, that they're also to bear with their failings, be patient with their failings. You know, your parents aren't always going to get it right. But recognize that they are seeking to love you when they tell you what time to go to bed, what time to be home, what you can and can't do. Provided that what they say is not in conflict with any direct command of the Lord, then you have to obey them. Unless it's causing you to sin, unless they are forbidding you to do something that God requires or requiring you to do something that God forbids, you have to obey them.
Right. And that's a good emphasis here in the Heidelberg. I really appreciate that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. And also I be patient with them in their failings. There's none of that today. I mean, we are taught, and we looked at the 60s. We've talked about the 60s a little bit. Everyone was taught to question authority. They were always taught to question what was being said. Now, we should always bring what we're being told to do in light to bear on the commandments of the Lord and what Mike said about God's word. But there's a respect here that we have to be patient with them in their failings. They are sinners too. And to understand they are set apart to be a benefit to me. If you have that attitude going in, and I love the emphasis of this, that every time I can look at authority structure in my life and say, well, okay, I may struggle with this. I may not even fully understand why at the moment, why I'm being asked to do this. But God has put this authority structure in my life, and He has told me to honor this because He's ruling me through this. I will honor it and give glory to Him in that honor, even when I may not fully appreciate what's happening or why it's happening or why I'm being told to do something that I'm doing. I may see it later.
Yeah, and that's something that we have to, as adults, keep in mind in how we apply this, how this commandment is applied to us in the civil realm, right? Because as the Heidelberg rightly points out, it's not only about honoring, loving, and being loyal to my father and mother, which I need to do my whole life long. Even as an adult, I need to continue to honor, love, and be loyal to them. But it goes on to say, and all those in authority over me. And that's something that doesn't sit well with us at times.
Right.
And yet the New Testament is very clear in passages like Romans 13, where Paul says that God has appointed the magistrate. He has put the civil authority structure in the world to suppress evil and vice, to protect the common good, and that even paying taxes is part of that. Now, that is something that doesn't sit well with us, particularly as Americans. You know, when there's a tax that we think is unjust, we start throwing tea into the harbor, and we have a revolution, and we're upset about those things. Now, I think it's, we have to understand it's perfectly fine to challenge legislation. You have every right within, you know, the laws of your land to try to change that law and challenge legislation. However, we still have to honor, love, and be loyal to those in authority over us. Again, this is something very difficult for, I think, American Christians to get down. And I'm grieved personally when I see very conservative, Bible-believing, God-fearing, even Reformed Christians slandering whoever the president is, attacking his character, attacking his motives. You know, if you don't like whoever the president is, this current president or the next president or the last one, challenge his legislation, Christian. Challenge his legislation, but don't attack his character. Lay off of the social media posts that cause you ultimately to sin against your Lord. Listen to what Peter says. He says that we are to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God. Listen to this, honor the emperor.
Right, and that's Romans 13. I mean, the clearest, beside that beautiful Peter passage, is Romans 13, where he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And then he gives the reasoning behind this. For there's no authority except from God. So again, there's the Heidelberg. There's that emphasis there. You see how all-encompassing and how wide this commandment is for us. But all authorities exist and are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And then he explains what is the general rule about leadership. Now, I may have a hard time accepting this about my current leadership. I may have a hard time accepting this even with my parents. But listen to what he says. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister to avenge, as an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. The principle that's really clear. The if we believe God has set authority structures in place, then we have to believe that the ultimate intention of authority structures in our lives are to stop evil in life, to stop evil things from happening, to curb things that are dangerous to society, to stop things that are unjust in society. If we're always attacking that, think of what's happening here. You don't understand. That person you're attacking is God's minister to you for good. So you should have some kind of fear and restrain yourself in attacking those whom God has put in place. And I think, Mike, maybe you could comment on this. Everyone, when I just say that, I know what everyone's thinking. Well, what about Hitler? Or what about this? What about that? But don't you think we have to first begin with that principle of what authority structures are there for to
promote our good? Yes, we do. But I mean, with regard to what about Hitler, I mean, we have to look at, again, the principles that we see in Scripture, like in the book of Acts, where you have the apostles disobeying the civil government when the civil government is requiring them to do something that God forbids or forbidding them to do something that God commands. So they said, you know, we're going to continue preaching the gospel even though you tell us not to, because it is better for us to obey God than man. And so when you have someone like Hitler saying, you know, there's a requirement now that you turn in a particular, or you shun a particular race, or that you turn in anyone who is hiding them, you must not only, you must disobey in that particular case, because God requires the opposite. Right. We have to obey the Lord. But I want to go back to Romans 13 there. And, you know, again, I think it's easy for someone to say, well, I'm doing all of that. I am doing good. I'm not afraid of the civil government because I'm paying my taxes. I'm doing everything that's good. What I like about what Peter reminds us in 1 Peter is he says, honor the emperor. Mm-hmm. Give him honor. And this, again, is what Heidelberg Catechism is pointing out. Just as we are to honor our father and mother, love and be loyal, I think it's easy for some people to say, well, I do pay my taxes, I do do good, I'm a good citizen, and I hate the president, and I'm going to talk about him and slam him and slander him everywhere. And the Bible tells you just the opposite.
Right.
You have no right to do that. It is sin to do that. Stop doing that. And the problem, part of the problem is that we have to understand that the news channels that we watch today, a lot of them are just fodder for fear and anger. So a lot of conservative people will watch Fox News. I am conservative and I don't watch Fox News, but a lot of people do. And so much of it is basically entertainment. And a lot of it feeds slander. And on the other side, you know, a lot of liberal people will watch something like MSNBC or other channels. And it's the same thing the other way. And what we have to do as Christians is recognize that, yeah, we need to be informed. We do need news. But just because there is a news media outlet or some news channel that is providing ammunition and fodder for being angry and being upset, that does not give me the right to then continue to spread any kind of attack on a person's character who is ruling over me. We have to honor him. We have to be good examples in this world. Challenge the legislation. Do something about the legislation. If you don't like a proposition in California or your state, do what you can with other citizens to try to change that. If you believe that it is more loving to your neighbor to change that law, then do what you can do to love your neighbor. But stop slandering those who are in authority over you.
You know, so we've looked at honoring parents. We've looked at now civil authority, civil magistrates, president. You know, but we should also, just for a minute, Mike, talk about spiritual authorities in our lives. And I think the principle here I want to go with, and maybe this is the way into it, you know, someone might be listening. Why is this so? When I sit around and I let's say I trash my parents, trash civil authorities, trash my spiritual leaders, what damage am I doing? I think that's where people need to think about this. And think about this verse in Hebrews chapter 13. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. There's a really important principle there at the end, that in other words, we should so be promoting and speaking well of our leaders that they in turn have a real joy to serve in that way. But if they are constantly feeling attacked, if they are constantly feeling assaulted, if they are being hit all the time by slander and disregard and disrespect, guess what happens? It's unprofitable for you. You bring on your own head the misery because what does a leader do when he feels attacked? Well, he doesn't lead well, or he responds angrily, or he does things to, and leaders are sinful. They may even try to get even. The point is that there should be a mutual harmony in all leadership of mutual respect and love on the leadership's part for those whom they are serving.
Right. And those leaders that he's talking about there in Hebrews 13, 17 are your leaders in the church. And then he goes on to say, for they must give an account to the Lord.
Right.
They're going to give an account. Chris, you and I are going to give an account to the Lord for everything that we said and did in the ministry of the gospel. And so there's an important principle here that, you know, maybe you don't like your pastor that much in his personality. Maybe he just doesn't click with you. But if he's being faithful to the Word of God, if he is proclaiming the Word of God, preaching Christ, if he is doing his responsibilities faithfully, you are to honor him. Even when he is less than perfect, you are to show him respect. You're to show him honor and love. And so in your church, listener, your elders, your minister, remember what the Word of God says to you. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves.
Great verse.
The devil wants us to attack and to be at odds with our pastor and with our elders. Respect them for their work. It's like that scene in Band of Brothers where there was one junior ranking officer who so despised the senior ranking officer that he didn't want to salute him. And the senior ranking officer said, you salute the rank, not the man. And that's something that we have to, not that the leaders outrank us, but in the church, but rather that we are to respect them because of their work. You know, it's good to call him pastor, or in Reverend so-and-so inside your church to show him that kind of honor and that respect because of his labor. The only time that we disobey our leaders in the church or our leaders in the land or our parents is when they require us to do something that God forbids or forbid us to do something that God requires.
Right. And I you know, I've always said, even in the qualifications, there was no qualification ever that the pastor has to be liked.
Right.
It's just not there. I mean, I hope
Jesus
you like
wasn't liked.
Exactly. I mean, that'd be great if you like your pastor, but this is not a personality show. Most exactly. people will respect those only who they think supply whatever they are after. You know, they're cool, hip, whatever they might be that pander to narcissistic wants and desires. The Lord is saying, honor and respect those in authority over you because of their work's sake and because God put them in place to be a benefit to you. And that now we see how wonderful the fifth commandment is. We should say in all these commandments, what do they drive us to do? Confess our sins,
right.
Confess our failings, and go to the Lord that we would begin to implement this design and know the kind of peace and harmony that he intends for us to enjoy as Christians walking in the law of love.
Right, and be patient with their failings. Be patient with the children. Be patient with the failings of your parents. They're not always going to get it right. They're made of the same thing you are. Citizens, be patient. Christians, as your citizens in the kingdom of man, be patient with the failings of your leaders. Yes, challenge their legislation, but recognize they're made of the same thing as you are. And be patient with the failings and the personality quirks and the things that rub you the wrong way of your leaders in the church. As long as they are feeding your soul and caring and tending to you, then we really have no reason to despise them.
All right, Mike. So we have just talked a lot about submission to authority, but I think people have to be properly motivated to this, or else, you know, we'll just try. What basis? Why should we strive to even do this?
Because of Jesus Christ and the fact that he has liberated us from the condemnation of God's law. When we come to these laws, the fifth commandment, all of God's commandments, as believers, we come to them through Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled them perfectly. And Jesus Christ, he obeyed the fifth commandment. He honored, was loyal to, loved his family, his parents perfectly. He loved his Father in heaven perfectly. He obeyed the civil authorities perfectly in everything that did not conflict with God's will. He honored church authority perfectly in ways that did not conflict with God's will. And he is the one that gives us that gratitude now because of what he has provided to us in his life, death, and resurrection. And Peter says, "For to this you've been called. Christ has left you an example. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have."
What a great verse. He has saved us, so we should honor him. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. That was the fifth commandment. You can find that on our website at agradio.org. agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. As always, we're thankful to have Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee to join us on Abounding Grace Radio. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.